Yo.
What up, what up?
Ooh, I'm a little disappointed in us, bro.
What's up?
We starting before midnight, man. It just don't feel right.
I forgot to hit up the wife and tell her we starting.
Oh.
She always comes through with the
memes. Do it
with,
now.
With
we can read,
memes.
I say, we can read her memes or her texts on air, so tell her not to say nothing crazy. I'll put them up on the screen on the YouTube video.
Oh, that'd be dope. See if she's still awake.
It's going to be like, what? Yo, if she's not awake, even better, man. Like, I'm not even home. I'm drinking. You don't care about my safety. Why do you hate me?
Yo, welcome back, everybody, to the Carbon Footprint Podcast. He is Juan, and I'm Sean, and every week we get together, have a few drinks, talk about things going on in the world, try to focus on things making an impact, whether they be good, bad, or otherwise. Welcome to episode 183. Oof. Hit him with a drink of the day.
Ooh, the drink, which Sean said, and I quote, what I just put in here was, it's just, and then proceeded to rip out half the kitchen.
So if you live in Harlem, forget it.
You're not making this.
Actually,
live in Harlem, they got the tequila. Maybe not this one. this one's banging, man. We haven't had a spicy one in a while, too, man. We haven't had a spicy drink. So we got calling this one the organic potion. It's our take on a spicy Paloma. So you're going to take a slice of jalapeno, maybe more, depending on your level of spice or the seeds in there. So do a slice of jalapeno, two or three mint leaves, half an ounce of agave, half a lime, squeeze that into the bottom of a shaker, muddle the entire, the concoction, add ice, add 2 ounces of the tequila, add an ounce of grapefruit juice, shake that up real nice, pour it in a rocks glass filled with ice, and then top off with a little bit of club soda.
Yep.
And garnish with a mint and maybe a grapefruit if you want, but the a clap mint works really, really well. And
you got it on the first try.
Let's go. Let's go. I was like, bro, I was like studying for a test at school. I was like, just give me the answers right before I got this shit and let me go before it leaves. You know me well enough to not distract me after that. Like, hold on. Your boy, this Tetris man is fucked up. So.
Bro, this shit is good, man. I tried it without the mint first, and I just felt like something was missing, and so we actually changed it from simple syrup to the agave, and then added the mint, and this shit hits.
This shit's good, dude. We gotta do a maybe just stick the camera up and record us making the drink. You know, especially when we get those moments where we're like, oh, it's good, but what about? Yeah, and we just start throwing shit in there. Yeah.
We get a lot of those, man.
Yeah.
We hit something and we're just like, oh, it's okay, but something.
And then those Eureka moments are always fun. We're like, ooh,
that's the one. That's
we're
the
here
one.
Celebrating. It's good. It's so good. It's so fun. Yeah, but this one's fire. I always like the spicy tequila ones. And we haven't had, we had a run there where we did a few, and then we haven't done one in a while. We had the one with the liqueur too, I think that you had brought.
Oh, that it wasn't jalapeno, but
Ancho Reyes.
That one. That one. Yep.
It was so good, man. But yeah, we just had to try this out, especially if you're a tequila. I know it sounds weird. A lot of people will be like, oh, jalapenos, try it. Something about the tequilas and jalapenos, it just goes well.
And what are we drinking today? What's
and this one is a Tres Agaves organic tequila, the Blanco. We've had Tres Agaves. It's funny. We've used their agave syrup before. And I know we've used something else on them. I feel like a liqueur or something you might have brought once. It might have even been one of those flavored.
No, it wasn't. I know what you're talking about. It's not that.
That one, okay, that was
That's
something
a different
else.
Brand.
Okay,
yeah.
So we've never had the actual tequila from them, though, that I can remember. So
no,
it's good.
It's organic.
I like it. It's organic. Which is funny, man. I'm like, wait, isn't all tequila supposed to be organic? It's supposed to be from that agave, but.
No, man, pesticides.
So this one, no. Okay.
I guess.
No, either way, it's good.
So look, man, we got a response, and she goes, I was like, we're starting now. She goes, yeah, whatever. What else is new? And then she gives me two middle fingers up, and she says, one for each of you.
Damn. What?
Yep. This is what I have to go through every week.
Good luck, buddy. I guess, should we just record a bunch of episodes tonight? You don't want to go home, right?
No. Let's go ahead and get the next 3 weeks out of the way. All right, bro, what you got for your carbon footprint?
Dude, I think I struggled with who to give it to, but I guess America as a whole. I feel like we did this last week, but like with the government.
Yep.
But this is a little bit different. They released the annual survey or study or whatever they do about the happiest countries in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And for the first time ever, America wasn't in the top 20 since they've been doing this study.
Not even in the top 20?
Not even in the top 20. Wow. And then it was the first time ever that they actually broke it into segments. I'm going to pull it up. So the first time ever that they actually broke it into age groups, and which is something really important because—
Oh, yeah, that matters,
what
bro.
Very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're going to see a disparity, in especially in the U.S. So the U.S. is ranked 23rd for happiest countries in the world. Okay. The disparity between age groups is huge. We're in the top 10 for people over 60. So I think number 10 for people over 60.
Baby boomers.
Yes. Which then in the people over 30 or under 30, sorry, we rank 67.
Get the fuck out of here, bro.
And so our average, obviously, is, and then somewhere in between that.
So you said under 30?
Under 30, we're number 67, dude, which is crazy, but it's also very indicative. And they were saying that across the globe, younger people, so younger people meaning people between 15 and 24, were typically happier than older people, except for in North America. So except for Canada, Mexico, United States.
And U.S., yep.
Yeah. But yeah, fascinating study. Man, it's funny. And I had a, yeah, so for those under 30, it drops to, 62nd, sorry, not 67, 62nd place. Americans over 60, the U.S. rank in the top 10, and under 30 rank in 62nd place. And so the average we're at 23 compared to number 15 last year. And the decline.
So we're losing ground.
We're losing ground. And the decline is attributed obviously to the young folks, the people under 30. It's funny, man. The people over 60, there's a lot of reasons why I think that is. It's like, you know, we joke all the time about how like, oh, people back then could buy a house for like $10,000. You know, the job market was booming because there's all this manufacturing, all this other stuff. I also think what gets lost in the mix, man, is the whole flower power era and all that stuff. They didn't really go through anything. That generation, dude, if you think about it, was the first one without any major wars. There wasn't any major depressions. There wasn't any major, like, it was a really good time to be alive. So there wasn't like
World War II, but no. I mean, they still had,
you count Nam, but.
Yeah, Nam, the Korean War.
The Korean War, but those weren't like life all, you know, like think about World War II, World War I, you know, like before that, those generations before that. So you go, that generation that's like over 60 now was, you know, the whole like acid tripping and smoking weed and, you know, buying real estate cheap. But, you know, like they didn't really have a lot of quote unquote conflict. And, you know, they're also a generation that talks a lot of shit about the current one, you know, which I guess would be me, you.
And I wonder if, you know, that age group is either retired or getting ready for retirement.
For sure. I think there's a lot of that.
Does that have something to do with it too? Where you just go like, yeah, like, you know, like, and I find this too, man. It's just like, you know, as you get older, like we all tend to talk shit about the younger generations.
Mm-hmm.
And then once, you know, you probably continue that as you get older and as you approach retirement age, you're probably going, yeah, fuck this.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I'm ready to stop doing all this stuff and mingling with the kids coming into the workforce, and I'm ready to step out of that now.
Yeah, like, do you, man, I feel like, is the red dot on that thing on? It's on, right? And so I'm like, is it record?
I'm always paranoid. I can't see it.
It's been me in the butt so many times. But it's in the left corner. It's probably why you can't see it, but I'm pretty sure it's on. Yeah, man. And then the people in the 30, I feel like that's our fault. We've done such a bang up job. It's on, right?
Yeah, it's on.
We've done such a bang up job raising our kids. they're all fucked up. I do feel like, I know the next generation complains a lot about whether it's housing costs and, you know, wages. And, you know, they're also probably the most educated generation as well. And so it's hard to feel any kind of empathy for that. I do think a lot of it is essentially like my fault. Like the way we've raised our kids is we've essentially raised them to not worry about anything we had to worry about, which are the things that made us who we are, the things that built character, the things that made us, you know, like, dude, I know people, and I guess I'm in this weird age bracket because I'm like old enough to sort of be in that generation before me, but young enough to where I still count as like a quote unquote millennial, but still remembering an era without the internet being in our face all the time. Like the core of my like grade school,
like,
and all
you're like
that.
You're like early millennial.
Yeah, yeah, and so like, or an elder millennial, if you want to call it. Like,
right.
Yeah,
like, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, like so, like you know, where we still value like working hard and all that. But I know a lot of people that I went to school with, who are very much in that like I don't know what I call that Zoomer or that Gen Z or whatever that, you know, like this next generation mentality, that entitlement, that like complaining about how, you know, whatever, the world's fucked for them and they didn't get any breaks. And it's hard for me to feel that way if you're over 35. Like, I'm like, no, you can, I don't say make your own luck, but you're sort of responsible for where you end up in life.
No, I mean, listen, man, you know, if you, everybody falls on hard times, right? Everybody
for sure.
has whatever bad, whether it's bad days, months, years, what have you, man. But dude, hard work and determination is undefeated.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
Okay, like,
I'm not saying that you're going to be this uber successful multimillionaire or whatever, but you can make a good life for yourself with hard work and determination.
Dude, I also think it's the entitlement. Again, and this is our fault, right? I feel like, I know certainly for me, right? Like you want to give your kids, you want to remove as much friction and you want to give them opportunities. But I think in trying to do that, and we mean well, we're actually robbing them or stealing them of opportunities to make them better people, better human beings. You said hard work is undefeated, but like, you know, we celebrate the whole like work smarter, not harder, but we don't instill like a good work ethic at all, because the idea now should be like, you should be able to do minimal and you get rich. Look at all these kids on YouTube.
Right,
and then we
right.
sort of feed into that with our kids because we coddle them. And, you know, the minute they fall, we're picking them up. We're all like helicopter parents. And no, you can't go play in the neighborhood because we're worried things are going to happen to you, even though we all did that shit and we were drinking out of hoses. And we're so just like, we baby our kids so much. And I think it's our fault that they're unhappy, because we've essentially stolen, I think, their opportunity to become like high functioning adults. They've become just fucking old ass. Like, I look at people now who are 30 and I'm like, oh, you're an 18 year old 30. You know what I mean? Like, right, you're just right. Like, yeah. And I don't know how you solve that. I don't know how you fix it. I think hard times will eventually like force that to get solved.
That's probably it. And I have the opportunity to watch. So I have like nieces and actually just nieces that are, mid twenties to say 30.
Okay.
And then I have my kids that are like upper teenagers or mid to upper teenagers, right? And I'm watching the 25 to 30 group, not necessarily struggle, but having to find their way out there. And the things that they complain about is like, you know, rents are really high. You know, buying a house is almost out of the question.
Yeah.
At this point, right? So they're, but I'm also watching them figure it out. Yeah. And sometimes it's like, yo, and it's even these girls, sometimes they're getting two and three jobs. Not necessarily jobs, but they'll have like their main thing, and then they'll have like two side hustles, yeah. Right? So they're learning they're learning to make their way. We always say this shit about humanity, right? Where it's like, it doesn't really matter, almost like how bad things get. Like it always feels like we figure it out.
We self-correct,
and not everybody is gonna figure it out, right? There's gonna be people that are just gonna be, you know, they get discouraged, and everybody's against them, and those are the people that when they're fucking 60, they're still gonna be pissed.
Yeah.
But there's the other people that you know, and I'm hoping, right? We hope for our children that we're able to go, okay, well, maybe you didn't grow up like me, but hopefully we've instilled enough good shit in you that when you get to that point in your early adult life that you figure it out.
Yeah, man, you would hope that you've had enough. The problem is that you can't learn, man, without being in conflict and having to solve that on your own.
We haven't given them the conflict.
We haven't given them the conflict.
Or allowed them to have the
conflict. Or allowed them to even solve the conflict, because when it does come, I think our first reaction is to save their ass, man. And for a lot of us, we didn't have that, right? Like, I had so many things I had to figure out on my own, right? I couldn't, like, no one was saving my ass. Like, I had to just figure out. And so in a lot of ways, like, you don't want your kids to have to deal with that. But at the same time, it's like, no, that's what made you like an adult. And that's what made you resilient. And that's what made you figure shit out. And that, instead of sort of pouting about it at home and going like, you know, like your niece is like, they figured out you shouldn't have to work three jobs, right? But that's not always going to be the case. But it's like, maybe at this stage in their life, that's what they have to do until they find a different career path, or until they, you know, whatever, generate more income, or they save up enough, you know, whatever it is. But it's like,
and dude, I feel like when they get older, if they fall on hard times when they get older, they'll always be able to look back at that early time in their life and go like, yo, I've worked fucking three jobs at one time. Like, I'll do whatever I got to do.
What I got to do. Yeah, because I'm like that. I'm like, man, I worked like a bunch and I did this stuff. And like, you know, I did that to get to a certain point.
Right.
You know, like, yeah. So, dude, the other thing that shocked me about this is the countries in the top 10 across all age and wherever, they're all fucking cold. Like, bro, I'm
gonna read. What are they?
It's freezing, which takes, like, I always assumed if you lived in a cold place that
you're miserable.
You're fucking miserable. But the happiest countries in the world are Finland is ranked number one. Then it's Denmark, Iceland, Sweden, Israel, the Netherlands, Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland, and Australia.
Israel?
Yeah. I got all kinds of jokes for that.
Not in the last 8 months. Oh, shit, man.
Or yeah, are they? Where was their ranking last year?
Oh, man, that's fucked up.
That's the one that's going to get us pulled off.
It's a fucking genocide over there.
It's like, oh, man. But and then for the people under 30, you know, the most of these are still on the list, but it does change a little bit. Lithuania becomes number one. Israel becomes number two for people under 30. Serbia, which was a little surprising. And then Denmark, Luxembourg, Finland, Romania, the Netherlands again, and then Czech Republic. And then the happiest countries for those 60 and older. It's funny. You start to see North America creep back into this section is Denmark, Finland. So the takeaway is just fucking Denmark and Finland are places to be. Norway, Sweden, Iceland again, New Zealand, the Netherlands, Canada, Australia, and the United States round out the top 10 for people over 60.
So, I wonder, those like top five countries. Oh, I got hit with a seed.
Oof. Yeah, those
mess you up. For those top five countries, I wonder how hard or easy is it to become a citizen in those countries?
Yeah. Is it good? Like the Netherlands, I know it's got to be harder because they offer a lot of program and stuff for their citizens. So, yeah. And I'm like, yo, isn't it freezing in these countries where you would think you got to be indoors most of the time? And we always equate that whole maybe being that, stuck
maybe
indoors.
That's the ticket.
Fuck, I don't know.
Isolation.
Or does it force you to do things, I don't know, because their way of life is a little bit different. Maybe they are outside doing stuff. I don't know. Because it's...
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, when you live in those places, you know, unless you're in... Do you ever see these fucking shows where it's like in Alaska?
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere. And then, you know, you got like, I don't know, you got a few months of where you can actually do shit. And then there's like really long winters.
You're a fucking serial killer, bro, if you live in those places by choice. You are. You're just waiting. You're out there just removing yourself from society so you don't act on it.
Fucking waiting to get eaten by polar bear.
Yeah. That's a miserable, miserable way to live, bro.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I would get to each their own. But again, we're animals that we need people. People need people, and fucking being that isolated isn't normal.
Yeah,
it's a little weird.
Well, dude, man, you know we're talking about like the younger generation, and this kind of plays into my carbon footprint, which is actually going out to Michigan Representative Rashida Tlaib. I probably just butchered that last name, but she introduced a new bill. And right now it's unclear when this bill will come to the floor, but it is co-sponsored by five other Democratic lawmakers. The new bill is trying to eradicate homelessness amongst the youth. And it's called the Youth Homelessness Guaranteed Income Pilot Program Act. That's a mouthful. But the bill would essentially, it would give emancipated minors and adults under the age 30 who are experiencing homelessness $1,400 a month or the adjusted fair market value for rent to qualified applicants. So it would be only for a 3-year period.
So the government subsidizing your rent for 3 years.
For 3 years.
You know, to school or
to get on
their job.
To sort of to get on your feet. Right?
Yeah, get on your feet. Okay.
So one of the stats, it was like that there's like 3.5 million young adults and roughly 700,000 young people experience some form of homelessness each year.
Yeah.
And so this is not, again, this is not in place, but.
And this is federally?
It's federally.
It wasn't just Michigan. Okay.
Correct. And so I was just like, I kind of gave her the carbon footprint because I just go, you know what, whether you agree with that or not, like if something like that will come into place, I think it will be impactful for a lot. Yes, there will be people that take advantage of that and then don't do anything like afterwards like any other program.
Yeah.
But knowing how knowing how like young people are sort of struggling with the increased rents and then not being able to buy homes and stuff like that, this would be super impactful.
And not for nothing, because like to your point before, like I don't know if I'm for or against, so I don't really have an opinion, but I am open-minded to the, is this just the world we live in now? Does the government need to step up and offer this? Because, you know, the flip side of this is like, oh yeah, you raise wages, you raise minimum wage, you do all this other stuff, which we know of, like the market.
That doesn't do anything.
Can't or won't tolerate it. Yeah, not for a long time, because, dude, I just saw something at the movie theater, which blew my mind. Oh, we go to the same theater. They replace all the people with the machines, screen, right? The machines now too, at a movie theater, which you went
to check out.
To check out, yeah, to go buy pop. But even so, they had already had it for the ticket booth, right? There's no people selling you tickets. They already had the electronic ticket booth. But now, even when you go get your food, there's people just making food and they're just putting it, you know, out on the counters, and you just grab what you want, and everything has a barcode, and you scan it and go now. So you're like, everyone's gonna move to this form, and so obviously jobs morph, and they're gonna turn into, you know, people programming or, you know, standing by watching you cash out, or maybe there's more cooks and whatever. Like the jobs morph, but I go maybe. The world we live in now is the one where, because everything is much more expensive, and the government does have to step in and offer some kind of assistance to all their citizens for X amount of time until they can develop the skill set or whatever to get. I don't know. I don't know.
Or you just leave it alone
and let it figure itself out.
And then let it figure itself out.
You let it collapse on itself because the market won't tolerate it.
That's right. Because eventually,
right? Because the 60-year-olds are going to die out who are paying for the rents now for their 30-year-olds.
That's right.
Yeah.
You figure at some point, like, you can't keep raising prices and rents and all this stuff unless the wages are there to support that. And if the space between that keeps increasing, it's only a matter of time until it collapses.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Right. And maybe, and in some instances, you probably wanted to do that.
Right.
Because it's a much more permanent solution.
Dude, like when fucking housing market crashes, right? Like, yeah, the value of your house goes way down, but then guess what? Things become affordable again.
Yeah. Self-corrected, and then...
It corrects it. The fucking stock market crashes. Yeah, it sucks if you're about to retire or you just retired. But for the majority of people who are not in that scenario, it's never been a bad thing.
No, you get enough time to bounce back. Yeah, this would be interesting, man. I mean, listen, kudos to her for trying to do something, right? Like, instead of just sitting back and...
Yeah. Again, I don't know if it's the right thing to do. Definitely somebody who's seeing that there is a problem.
Is she younger or is she older?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Rashida, yeah. I've never... You said she's a representative, right? Okay, she's from Michigan. Yeah. Yeah, man, listen, hopefully it works. I know I have seen that some of the pilots that they do in other cities, like I think Austin, I think Denver might have done something and all that. But I want to say a lot of the data has shown that the bulk of that assistance where they're doing this like universal basic income has gone towards housing. So maybe by offering a program that's specifically catered to housing, maybe she's got enough data where she's seen these pilots in all these other cities where it's like, oh, why don't we just address that thing since the money we're giving them, that's where it's going.
And then just do it nationwide.
And then just do it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, listen,
listen, and then you do that shit, man, and if it doesn't work, then you stop it.
You just stop it. Yeah. What's the worst case scenario? Right. Yeah.
I'd rather.
Or do we create more complacent kids who then in 3 years have a problem because they still can't afford it? Because I think that's up to the individual.
It's very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, if you.
None of this is meant to be forever. Like,
correct. If you know up front that you have 3 years, there's going to be people who are going to be complacent.
Yeah,
absolutely. But hopefully you have a lot more that are not and go, yo, I have this help for 3 years. I got to get my shit together in that time frame.
Is there an age limit to this? Can I go back now and ask for the 3 years?
I want to say it's under 30.
Damn it.
Residents under 30. Yeah, you're
I'm officially aging out of stuff. That's that's painful. All right. That sucks.
That's like, I'm like, tell me about it.
Aging out of all the fun shit. I gotta check the next box on the you know when they did the age and they always pull it into like groupings or whatever. I'm officially like in that next box. Do I have to check that thing? And yeah, it was a little painful. It was like, oh fuck. It's like, bro, when did that happen?
I'm about to hit the half century mark this year, man. So
You're close. You're like less than two months away, right?
Yeah, man. Let's go. It's all right, man. I feel good.
I'm doing the pod for the moon. Elon, hook that up. get us a couple Neuralinks and a spaceship.
Dude, you seen the Record Breakers this week, man?
Dude, I missed. It wasn't this week.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
I think actually, so. Right? I thought LeBron did his, and then
40,000 points, bro.
That's insane. And even crazier is what you would have to do to accomplish that today. Like, that's a record that probably won't ever be broken again.
Mm, famous last words.
Yeah, I mean, true. But think about how long it took to do it the first go.
Yeah.
Like, to get to the 30-something thousand. It's a long... Well, you know what? That's a good point, because I think people take care of their bodies better now. The nutrition's so much better. The training's so much better. The, you know, like, all the sports medicine, the injury repair, all that stuff is so much better now that... No, you're right. I think it'll be a longevity record more than anything. Yeah. And so I think this speaks to... Obviously, LeBron, as a talent, as a player, in scoring... But I think it also speaks to his longevity and how healthy he stayed. And how, like, I forgot, I looked at something. It was something bananas, like what Steph Curry or Kevin Durant would have to average from here on out. And it still didn't get him the record. It's something really stupid, dude. He still averages over 20-something points a game at almost 40 years old. It's crazy, man.
Is he going to be 40 this year?
I think he's 39 right now. I think he's 39. So maybe next year, I think he turns 40, but... You know, shit, at 39 to still rank in the top, I think he's still top 5, top 10 in the NBA in stats. Like, he's still, you know, averaging like, you know, 24, 5 and 6 or whatever it is. It's crazy.
Dude, I'm so glad that I got to watch this guy from the beginning, you know, and I'll be able to watch him, you know, God willing, like, nothing crazy happens, right? Knock on wood, but watch him through his career, watch him retire, and then go, man, like, I got the same. Like, I just got to see that.
To watch 20 years of this guy play at the highest level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, shout out to him. 40,000 points is a lot of fucking points, man, for a long period. Yeah, you just, to sustain that, man.
Yep.
You go, we've had the talent to do it, right? Like, someone like Kevin Durant has the talent to do that. Steph Curry has the talent to do that. The availability and, you know, physically to put yourself through those grueling NBA seasons for that long, I think it's what's... makes this even more impressive, right? Like, it's just...
No, it's crazy, man. Say, the way that he's, you know, the technology exists, but you still have to be willing to do it.
Yeah, you have to be willing, right.
You have to be willing to dedicate yourself to taking care of your body in that fashion, you know, to get that longevity. So kudos to LeBron. I'm a big LeBron fan.
Yeah, same.
I hope that guy does it till he's 50.
I would love to. Although he looks like he's kind of over it. You see him in the game.
There was something happened recently.
He goes like, I'm too old for this shit. He's like, yeah, that's right. And he's like, I'm too old for this shit. But you could just tell, like, the way he's looking. I'm like, man, does he call it quits after this year? Does he do the whole tour with, you know, like sort of a Kobe did?
Well, he wants to play with his son, right?
So, yeah, but even that, he's starting to renege a little bit. And I go, does that mean you want to back away?
No, it means his son's not getting drafted.
No, that, I think people would just sign him as an undrafted free agent just to do it. Just for the thing. I think the Lakers would do it as a favor to him. I think he's doing his son a disservice by putting that out there. I think maybe that's why he's walking it back, because as a dad. Bro, if you're LeBron James, I get what he's doing. It would be cool to play with your son. By throwing that out there, you've almost put the pressure on your son to make it into the NBA. He has to be a one and done out of college, right? His son's not that level of talent. He's a good basketball,
player,
but he's not a one and done. And so what you've done is you've put all these eyeballs on him. Like, you haven't let, this kid hasn't been able to develop. Now, granted, he's LeBron James's kid. He has his name. You know, he's LeBron Jr. or whatever. Like, you're not escaping that. But you're also not getting, like, this opportunity to grow. I think so. I think he's Bronny, right? Yeah, I think he's LeBron.
Bronny. Yeah.
So I think he's a junior. He just doesn't call him junior. But, you know, so you already hold that name. That's fucking tough, dude, to have that name. And then you're playing basketball. You already have the microscope on you. And then now the expectation is you do 1 year of college and you're in the NBA. And he's not allowed to, like, develop or build up his game or do all that stuff. Like,
And
it sucks.
And he's Gen Z.
Yeah.
Right. So we just talked about it a while ago, right?
Generationally wealthy Gen Z, is a little different. Yeah.
Which, again, I don't want to speak to how LeBron is raising his kids. But we know the world that these kids are growing up in.
It's a little different then.
And So that's
different pressure too, right? Different pressure, different stress, different all that. But also other things are a lot better for him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So shout out LeBron, bro. That's insane. And then in the college world, so Caitlin Clark broke. Who was it? Pistol Pete. Which, that in itself, the fact that the record was held by Pistol Pete told me all I needed to know about this record. I hate to be this hater on Caitlin Clark. Listen, Caitlin Clark is
she's amazing, phenomenal, bro.
Phenomenal
she's
basketball player.
Fucking, she's amazing,
this isn't,
bro.
This isn't to take away any credit, but I'm going to, sort of like what I was saying about LeBron, this is a longevity thing. If Kevin Durant played 4 years of college basketball, Kevin Durant would have broken this record. If LeBron James played 4 years of college basketball, LeBron James. If Kyrie Irving played 4 years of basketball, he would have.
Yeah.
I think no one plays
basketball.
Yeah, men's basketball is garbage and no one stays there. And so this is why the women's game is significantly better now, because you're getting, you know, they're obviously talented women and then they're staying for 4 or 5 years. So their game is developing. Yeah. They're getting, the fact that they're there that long, people are getting attached to them. You know a story.
And the nil deals are keeping them there longer, right?
Yeah, which is, I think may help the men's game eventually, because the nil deals are going to keep these guys there longer because now they're not worried about rushing for the paycheck. And so maybe this does help the college game for the on the men's side, but women's college basketball is now sort of like, I think we can name, I can certainly name more. I couldn't name a single, actually, other than Bronny, college men's basketball player. And I could probably name five on the women's side.
Yeah, same.
And that just speaks to the fact that they've been around for so long because they're 3-4 years in or whatever. And but I think in that, when you get someone as phenomenally talented as her, you're going to get these opportunities to break records because you're there. Like, Pistol Pete played 60 years ago, 70 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know, but it was...
In a time before, where, yeah, before, it was before guys are playing. Like Michael Jordan played, what, 2 years of college basketball? Three? You know, again, Michael Jordan would shatter this record if he starts 4 or 5 years at North Carolina. Clyde Drexler, Barkley, all these guys would have shattered these records if they play, you know, full-blown, long college careers. But the men don't because, you know, the NBA pays you, you know, like, to go to the NBA. So
yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but again,
taking nothing away from her.
Yeah, like, it's not that.
It's still a phenomenal feat.
I hate the narrative behind the record on the men and the women's side. It's like, I get what you're saying, but it's not apples to apples because the men play 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, and then if you play 4 years of college basketball and you're not good because you're not going to be you're not staying in college to get an economics degree, bro. If you can play ball, right. You know what I mean? Like, you're just not doing it.
No, very true. And then the most probably unnoteworthy record breaking was by Xavier Worthy. I think he's a wide receiver. I don't know what college he got it, but in the NFL Combine, he broke the 40.
All-time 40?
4.2.
Or at the position?
Ooh, I think all-time.
All-time?
4.2.
Can he catch, though?
I don't know.
Oh, man. Can you see those guys are so fast like that, and then they can't catch?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so I gotta look out for that name. See if he even gets drafted.
Yeah. So I wonder if he gets taken. Dude, who knows, man? Somebody would take a chance on him.
Yeah, because
you're wide open. Look at fucking Cheetah. He's just so wide open all the time. I mean, he can catch, but you're just like the game so much has evolved where the offense just rules, and you know, wide receivers, you just gotta run in a straight line fast now. It's so crazy, man. Yeah, that was a crazy week for sports, man. There's so many things I broke in, bro. The March Madness tournament snuck up on me so quickly.
Oh, it's all like today, right?
Yeah,
I missed everything. I don't know what the hell's going on.
I've like remembered last minute, and so I placed a bunch of reckless bets that I think I've since lost them all. I'm over here like, where's Duquesne? Fuck it. Let me throw it on. Which actually, they ruined my parlay. I bet against them because I saw Duquesne hadn't won a tournament game since the 60s. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh, they're definitely going to lose. And it was
and
like,
they won?
And they fucking won. Yeah. Oh, I was like, you assholes. So fuck you, Duquesne.
Who's I think the favorite on the men is what, UConn?
Isn't it always? Yeah, there's UConn, or it's always Kansas, UConn, fucking Kentucky.
Yeah, but it's not like I don't think Kentucky is one of the favorites this year.
So
Houston has a really good team.
Who's the coaching? Houston has a high profile coach though, don't they? Who's the coach at Houston?
I don't know.
Maybe I'm thinking of when Larry Brown was there, but he's probably gone. Who's at Houston now?
Let's find out.
I felt like they did have like a high profile coach who's turning that program around, or at least got. Fuck, I'm drawing a blank.
Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah, that's a high profile coach.
Yeah,
Kelvin Sampson. He was in. Go look at who. He
oh
coached
yeah. No, I know the guy's face.
Yeah. That's why I'm trying to think of. Damn it, but yeah. Anyway, good coach bringing that program back. But I think Larry Brown was there before him a few years back.
But yeah, so that started today. We'll see how that shit goes.
I'm curious. We should have did a bracket. Just start blindly picking.
I was going to say, it would all be blind. I just put a dartboard. I just put UConn.
No, we'll just put the bracket up and just throw darts and then just see where it lands and then just move them forward. It's like, this is what you find out. Dude, Stetson got in. Did they win today or do they play tomorrow? Stetson got in from Florida, you know, not too far from here.
Isn't Stetson like a...
Bro.
Is that even like a real college?
I don't think so. I think it's just... I think it's...
That was like a building.
Like a typing school. Yeah. I thought that was a tax write-off or something. Evidently, it's a real school.
They have sports
but
shit?
I think they're ranked 16, so they're playing, you know, whoever they're playing.
Ranked 16?
Yeah.
In the country?
No. Sorry. In the tournament, they're a 16.
Oh, in their little bracket. They're fucking last seed and
Yeah.
So but they got in.
Yeah. They're going to get the brakes beat off of them by whoever. I don't even think they're in.
Really?
The men's? Yeah. I don't think so. Stetson got in before the UCF. The UCF women might be in, though. I gotta check. The UCF women have a good team.
Okay.
And then the men did upset somebody this year, like somebody good, but I don't think they were good enough to get in. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure the men aren't in.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the
players. I think the only team from Florida that got in might have been Stetson. It's like Miami, I'm sure, got in. But
dude, speaking of let's stay with basketball, man. You see Dre and Michelle?
I have.
Yeah. So Dre and Michelle, for those of you who don't know, she was part of one of those like housewives of something, or basketball wives or some shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think she's 39 years old and she's pregnant from Jalen Green, NBA player, 22-year-old NBA player.
Yeah.
So it made the news, I guess, because of their age disparity.
Yeah. So what, 17 years? She's 39?
39, I believe. 39.
And he's 22. Yeah.
Dre and Michelle. So, I don't know, man.
It's become a big topic of conversation online, too, man.
Oh, really?
It's just huge because people are like, and on social media, like, and every podcast I feel like I've listened to has talked about this. Like, I didn't realize it was that big of a deal. And they're almost.
It's really not.
Like, he's a fucking adult. I don't know if people realize that. Like, they're making it seem like she's like a grooming, you know, a 22. I'm like, no, it's a 22-year-old man, bro. Like, relax.
Right.
Like,
but at what point, you know, and I think maybe this is it, right? I think that as you get older, you realize that at 22, you were hardly an adult.
No, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so,
I'm sure he doesn't feel that way. And it's not going to be cute when he's 30 and she's, you know, what is that, 57? I mean, they won't be together then, but still.
Right.
And she has outwardly said, like, you know, like she want, you know, yeah, she like, wanted like, a baby, like,
not.
And she's very open for an NBA player at 22 years old. She's probably perfect because she's the like, hey, I don't.
Yeah, she's open to like co-parenting.
Yeah, no, that and open relationships and the whole like she's just okay. I'm not one of these like, you know, strict like whatever. Like, so you're like, she got what she wanted, right? You know, she got to raise another baby. I think she has a teenage kid already, right? Or something like that. But I
thought she has a kid like his age.
She probably does. I think you're right. She does have an older kid. And then she's kind of also been the like, you know, like I don't know. I hate that we try to make this kid seem like a victim. I'm like, no man, he's a 22-year-old man.
I don't think it's a victim, man. I just go, if that's your son. What advice are you giving them?
Ride it out till she's 40, bro. And
ride it out for the next 6 months.
I saw a meme the other day that was like, it was like, it was like a girl's tweet or something saying like, oh, all of the guys in my school are ugly or something. It was like a chick that was like in her 20s or something like that. And the reply to it, and the reply went viral, the guy goes, honey, it grossly shifts post 35. basically like the women get uglier and the guys get better looking post 35. Goes, I don't make the rules. And the amount of people that were just livid response. I was like, I love the internet.
Like, and for a lot of cases, it is.
I didn't understand. I do think that it's weird, though, because if it was a guy doing that with a 22-year-old, I feel like we'd be like high-fiving the guy, but I also think he would be looked at as a creep, too, like in the same breath. Like Dane Cook's wife is way younger. Dane Cook, I want to say, is like 49, 50.
Okay.
And his wife that he just married is like 23, 24.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been together for like, since she was like, she couldn't even drink, I think, when they first got together.
Dude, I don't even know.
I don't even know what you would talk about with someone like that, bro.
Like that conversation would be limited.
Which isn't good for them. But yeah, like there's very rare that you would find an age gap that big where it works, where you would have something. And again, it's cute, I think, in your younger years. Bro, when you're, like I said, if you're him and you're 40 and she's 57 or whatever, it's like, that's probably not going to be cute. Or you're 50 and she's 70 almost, she's 67 or whatever. Like, that's not going to be cute.
Dude, not for nothing, man. My parents were 18 years apart.
and it became a problem when I think when my mom was in her, say, like late 50s, mm-hmm. maybe even 60.
And he was 70 something.
And he was like 78.
Yeah, that's,
you know what I mean?
It's tough.
And yeah. And
it's different to go you're
in a
together.
Different, right. Yeah. You're in a different mindset. And it's funny, man, because I'm actually watching my mom now kind of switch over into what he was that she would complain about.
Yeah, because that's an age. That's a tough one, right? Because you're entering sort of the twilight of your life where you're
that's a whole other generation, bro.
No, but I'm saying for there, you're like, you're not working, you're ready to travel, you're ready to enjoy sort of the fruits of your labor, you want to do this. And he's like, I'm fucking tired. He's like, and so that's where that age gap gets like really tough, man. I think the whenever you see those, like you said, like older, and there's like 20 year age gap, you're like, oof, that's gonna be an interesting one. I'm like, that's cute when you're 20 and yep. it's a 40-year-old, but
so you're going to be what, 38 this year?
I'll be 38, yeah, in September.
What's your, if you had to date someone younger than you, just based off age, what's the limit?
Oh, just off age? Ooh, I don't think I could go under 30, probably 30.
30?
It'll be tough. Well, in my experience, talking to people under 30
yeah.
is really fucking hard, bro. Like, they just, especially this generation of 30, haven't lived enough life. Like, they're not much there to talk about. There's not a lot of substance. Now, granted, you do meet people who are interesting, you know, again, on both sides, right? Like, guys and girls that you can talk to. You're like, okay, cool. But I find it hard to even talk to guys as friends in that age group. Like, yeah. I can't imagine, like, a woman.
They're not your friends.
Yeah. I'm like, and it's weird, man, because I've always gravitated towards, like, I've always had older friends, like, you and mm-hmm. I, like, I've always, like, had older friends, and it's just, like, it's just something I've gravitated to, I think, just towards the nature of, like, conversations that I tend to gravitate to, or just the hang that I, for whatever reason, I just tend to gravitate that way. I couldn't talk to someone. I just don't know what you would have or enough life experience. Maybe if you're a rough 30-year-old, but you've just been through a lot of shit. You know what I mean? Like, maybe. I don't know.
Let me see. Have you been molested? Okay, we can
you'd be talk. Like, yeah, yeah. How many times your house broken into as a child?
Did your parents do drugs?
How many stepdads did you have? Yeah. Did your parents do drugs? Were you homeless for any period of time? Did you, like, it's like, you have to go through the list of, like,
yeah, man.
Give me some trauma. Dude. Some shit, maybe. I don't know.
I would think, for me, man, 10 years?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's about right. In either direction?
10 to, well, I don't know.
Can you go 10 up?
I don't think so, bro.
Yeah, your face, though. Well.
Yeah,
10
no.
for you would be 60. Yeah, you'd be, yeah, you'd no, be dusting bro. Cobwebs off of that.
Yeah, no. No, man, I'm thinking 10 years the other way.
What's the limit on the up?
5, maybe.
Yeah, that's respectable. I like that. Yeah, yeah.
5, yeah, I would say that would probably be the... And then, again, knowing, like watching my parents... So, like, I try to keep myself in decent shape and stuff, man. Like, it would have to be, if it was older, they it would have to be somebody like that, where you go, where they're sort of in the same mindset of just like, yeah, like, I'm trying to keep myself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you figured at this age, I think, too, like, you're going to gravitate towards someone. I think, like you'd be attracted to someone who did that because you would, like, to your point, like, no, I want you to be.
Like minds.
Like-minded. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I could totally see that. Yeah, right, because 5 years isn't the same for everybody. No. Especially, yeah, post 50, 60, it's like.
And also, it also depends if you're, if you know, what ethnicity you are.
Ooh. Yeah, some right? people don't
some
age.
People don't age well, man. 55, you be looking like you 75.
Yeah, man. You a 55-year-old Asian? Listen, I could be 30. You mean my Asians don't.
Asian don't raise
Asian don't raise it, man.
She gotta have that good skin.
You got then you gotta deal with all the other shit that comes with her name. Oh, actually, that's another plus, bro. Asians, you go, they don't age, and they got tiny hands. So boost your confidence.
Ego boost right off the bat.
Like, I don't want you to do anything. Just hold it.
Let me take the picture. Speaking of Asians, you seen that guy try to run an insurance scam? So those of you not seen
it. Oh, that's so wild.
There was a guy in Korea. actually two guys, right? There was one guy convinced another guy to run this insurance scam. And in order to get the money from the insurance, the one guy convinced him that he's going to put his legs in dry ice. And then
10 hours or pretend, was it?
Was that what it was, 10 hours?
Something crazy like that.
And then fucking go to the hospital and essentially with frostbite to have his legs amputated.
And they did.
And they did.
So he loses both legs. So he can get, how much money was it?
$1.3 million, something like that.
Was what the payout is. Are, is 1.3 worth two legs?
Nah,
right? I didn't think so.
Maybe in South Korea it is.
Fuck, man. Because I remember seeing the amount going, that's it, bro. I'm not cutting nothing off for 1.3 mil.
What's the exchange rate?
Oof. No, but that's 1.3 US dollars. So
that's what I'm saying. So what's the...
You're a trillionaire. Actually, I don't. That's a good question. I don't know it off the top of my head right now.
Right? If it's 1.3 million, is that the exchange rate, right? Whatever it is, you know, comes out to be 1.3.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, but I can't imagine that you could, that you would. Here we go. 1.3. Yeah, it's like fucking hella decimal points. It's like 17 million something something. The rate is,
what's their currency?
I'll tell you right now. The one. It's 13.39 to one. So it's, yeah, it's a lot of money, but for them. But again,
depends on how much it costs.
Yeah, right? yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't translate the same. So it's like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not like a Coke costs fucking 20,000 wons.
That's what it would be. Yeah, it would be like, yeah. Fuck, bro. $1.3 million is not enough money.
Yeah, no. That definitely not. But to make the story even better,
yeah.
The folks at the hospital, based on how his frostbite was, because it was so symmetrical.
Yeah.
They reported it.
They knew it was.
They knew. Yeah.
Scam.
They thought it would be
like
scam.
This is too perfect.
And and the weather, where it was supposed to be cold during that time, it was like 43.
Yeah, and so they report it, and so the insurance only pays him out.
Well, he got money from one of the insurances.
Yeah,
and it was like $7,200.
$7,200,
and he had to fucking pay it back. He had to pay it back. Got arrested. Had to pay that shit back. So this guy gets nothing.
And you got no legs.
And he got no legs.
That's crazy. Yo, what? Fuck. What's your number for both legs? What's your number for both legs, bro?
Man, I don't know if there is one, to be honest.
Yeah,
bro.
I don't know that there's a number.
Well, hold
for
on.
One, bro.
Hold on, bro. Hold on.
How old are you?
Can you get some like dope ass prosthetic legs?
I mean, I'm
like
sure.
Like some robot legs that you could walk around.
Also,
be good.
This goes to the age thing earlier. Like, how old are you?
Right.
Do you need them anymore?
Yeah.
Who are you married to? Maybe you don't want legs. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's one of those things, man. I don't want to. I mean, listen, I'll give up a finger, a toe, or something, man. But
fuck.
like a whole limb.
Yeah, man.
For money, bro.
Money. I'm trying to think of the amount, man. Give up a pinky for 20 mil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think of. Can I?
I might give him two. Get four.
Grab this cup like this.
Oh yeah.
You still drink?
You see? Yeah. You do it just like
that. What about a thumb? The thumb is important.
Nah.
Can't give up a thumb for 20 mil, right? No. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, bro. That's a tough one. Yeah, I guess you could live without a pinky, but I don't know. 20 mil is enough money, though. Fuck, man.
Yeah. Fuck him.
Dude, that sucks, bro. And you get $7,200 that you got to pay back. That's wild.
Tell me, this dude got arrested, lost both his legs, got no money. Yeah, fuck that.
Fuck that.
Yeah, what's up with this Willy Wonka experience?
Bro, this guy ran a scam.
Another scam?
These posters, all these things about this Willy Wonka experience in a warehouse. And people were making reservations online and booking and buying tickets. And then they were showing up to an empty warehouse.
Yeah,
nothing
where,
there, bro.
Where was this?
This
got to be here.
Yo, of course it was here, bro. You know how amazing we are at stuff like this, and we run the best scams. That's one thing we didn't fall in. Damn it, we run the best scams. It was, here he is. Come on, Willy Wonka. Which, by the way, the movie, meh, the new one. He doesn't say.
Is it in the theaters
and
now, or is it on like
it's on streaming? Or, yeah, it's on one of those. So here's the thing: is that they used it using AI. All the imagery that he used to make the website, all the poster shit, all that, it looked very convincing, really cool, really cutting edge, because they use AI to create all the imagery.
Of course it did, bro.
I'm going to try to figure out what city it was in, because I thought it was here. Maybe it was Europe. Organizer of viral Willy Wonka experience says his life is ruined after event's failure. So allegedly, I guess it wasn't supposed to. Oh, it was in Glasgow. So it was in Scotland. So I guess according to him, it wasn't supposed to be a scam, but I guess shit fell apart. Or you can do it. But anyway, they were showing up to empty warehouses for all this money that they put together, and then all the money that they paid for their tickets or whatever, and then they never got the experience. So they're just showing. Bro, this is Fyre Festival all over again.
When I saw
I'm waiting for a documentary on this shit.
Dude, when I saw this, this title, I didn't know the story.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally thought that I saw something on TV about this, and I was like, "Oh, cool! I'm gonna learn about what this shit is."
Oh,
and it's a scam.
So you would have fallen for the scam?
Well, I wouldn't have, because I'm not fucking locally.
You would go to the Willy Wonka experience?
No, I've never been a fan of that. Even the old one, man. I can't remember the fucking guy's name. That
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan.
The movie. I like the old one. I even like the new one, the Johnny Depp one. I thought was fine. But the new one, I don't know, disappointed.
Is it the guy? What else is he from?
Timothy.
What else? He's from something.
Chalamet.
Else.
He just did Dune. That's the big one. He did Dune too.
How about before that?
Timothy Chalamet. What was he in? He's done a lot of shit, man.
Maybe it was Dune that I'm thinking about.
I mean, he's the main character in Dune, but he did. I don't know. Let's look at his IMDb. Because he's a young kid, too.
Yeah.
He's done a lot, considering. Just look at his IMDb page, because he's got...
But while you look at that, it kind of goes back to what we talked about a week or two ago, man, with AI and just being able to fucking fool people. Dude. You know, like, this is that next level, right? It's now they're getting you to go out, you know, for an experience. And I'm assuming, you know, he sold tickets online.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And then he just makes off with the money.
None of these are huge. He was in Don't Look Up, which was popular.
Yeah.
Bones and All, which I never heard of. Enter Galactic, which I never heard of. Trent Reznor and the Atticus Ross, I know was big-ish at the time, but I don't think I've seen.
Yeah, it must have been Dune that I was thinking
Dune
about.
Dune 1 and 2, yeah. Oh, the big ones. And he dates Kylie Jenner, I think, is the other thing that he's kind of He's famous for, yeah. Yeah, because all the rest of these movies, The Adderall Diaries, same bro, same. Oh, he was in Interstellar, but he was a kid. Homeland, the TV show, but he was a kid.
He was in Interstellar, bro?
Yeah, but I think he's a kid in Interstellar, because when did Interstellar come out? So Interstellar came out in 2014. I guess he would have been like 20.
I don't remember him in that movie. I love that movie.
No, wait, that movie's 10 years old, right? Never mind. He would have been like 18. Damn, 2014 was 10 years
old. Who the fuck is he?
Fuck, man.
I
think he plays the son. Yeah. I think
but he's not the son, bro.
Is he not? Let me see.
No.
Let's see who he plays in Interstellar. He plays Tom.
I don't know that.
Who was Tom in Interstellar? Let me see. I felt like he was like when Matthew McConaughey is looking back at his son. Yeah, it's a 15-year-old. So he plays 15-year-old Tom. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I only remember the adult one. So maybe that was it.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
Dude, let's move on. Mike Tyson about to fight Jake Paul.
Okay.
How do you feel about this, man? So when's the fight? Is it June or July?
I think it's July. Yeah. Bro, I think this could go either way. I think if I'm picking a winner, I'm going to pick Jake.
I agree.
I think this could go badly either way, actually.
Dude, I think this is the worst thing for Mike Tyson.
It's horrible for Mike Tyson, and I think you're in a no-win situation if you're Jake Paul. If you knock him out, they're going
to
go, he's 57, you're supposed to knock him out. Not that if you lose to him, people go, you're not a real boxer. You lost to Myron Mike. You know, you lost to a real boxer. Da, 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 da. Dude, as impressive as Mike Tyson looks, and I know he still hits hard, he said that you're still 57. I think people keep sleeping on how hard Jake Paul hits.
Yeah.
And he's 25 or whatever, 26. And Mike Tyson has been knocked down before a lot. He's been outboxed before a lot. Like, it's in his prime, right? So it's not like Mike Tyson retired undefeated, never been beat, never been dropped, never been whatever. Like, we've seen him look human. And now you're asking a 57-year-old Mike Tyson, and I get that
he'll beat me and you up.
Sure.
but he's not going to beat it. Like, yo, as much as you want to call Jake Paul
a YouTuber
or whatever,
he takes this guy shit serious, bro.
This guy's fucking training. He's fought professional boxers, not top guys.
No.
But he's fought
professional. But he's walking through guys that aren't top guys. Yeah. So you go, you're somewhere in between top guy and the bottom of the barrel. So you're a middle of the road journeyman.
Right.
You're beating those guys. You're beating
a 57-year-old guy.
And actually, I think this has the potential to just disappoint us and end up being like an 8-round fight that goes the distance. And, you know, Jake Paul wins at a decision and it isn't entertaining at all. I am too, man. But I get the feeling it's going to be boring. But I also think, again, and at this weight class, this is the fun part about the shit, which is why I'm going to watch. I think that Jake Paul can land a punch that ends it. I also think Mike Tyson is still capable of landing a punch that ends it. But it's going to be the other thing is going to be is like, if Jake Paul can take that hit, Mike's fucked. Because I think to beat Mike, you got to be willing to eat one of those so you can land your own. Because I think Mike has shown that he'll fall if you get him right. Like, you know, again, we've seen multiple people drop Mike Tyson.
Who got them?
Buster Douglas dropped them. Holyfield dropped them. The first dude he fought,
Lennox Lewis
dropped him. Who was the first dude early in his career that gave him fits? And then Tyson just landed a punch, man.
Oh, was it what was it? Fucking Frank Bruno.
Ooh, I think he did too. But that's not who I was thinking.
Razor Ruddock.
Oh,
I'm trying to think of his like the price that I remember.
There was
the good one
fight very early on, man. Where I'm gonna see. Let me see Mike Tyson fights.
Why you look for that, bro? I think that this is very bad for Mike Tyson, man. I don't like, listen, Mike Tyson was a phenomenal boxer. He's almost like legendary, right?
Yeah,
like,
you know, he is. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And Iron, so, like,
dude, he's still feared this far down the road in his career.
But I don't think by professional boxers.
No, but I mean, we hold him. Yes.
We hold him in high regard, right?
High regard. Yeah, yeah.
And you go, if I see 57-year-old Mike Tyson out in the street, like, I'm not fucking with him.
Dude, he lost 6 times as a professional fighter. And
who did he lose to?
So he lost to Lennox, Evander. He lost to Evander twice, right? And Lennox twice?
Did he fight them twice?
I think so. Here
did he fight? Did he fight Holyfield twice? Or was it just the one where he fought Holyfield twice. He bit the ear.
He got disqualified the one time.
He got TKO'd
another time. Well, no, he got TKO'd the first time, right? And then he got DQ'd the second. Is that what happened? I think that's what happened. I think the rematch was the one that he got TKO'd the first match and he got DQ'd in the second match. And then, yeah, so Frank Bruno's here. Yo, remember Peter McNeely?
But he beat Frank Bruno.
Yes, but he beat Frank Bruno twice.
Yeah.
He beat, Larry Holmes, Tyrell Briggs, Tucker Thomas. Maybe it was Bruno that I was thinking about. But I remember one of those guys was giving him fits, dude. And he just lands a punch that ends the fight, right? But it was like, he wasn't winning that fight. He just, you know, he could end it at any moment. And he did. I think it was Bruno. I feel like it was Bruno where he was losing that fight. And then in like the 10th round or 9th round, he knocks the guy out, but the guy's like fucking him up most of the fight.
I think that's one of the Frank Bruno fights.
Yeah. I think you're right. Cause I think that's what he wound up being, a rematch. And then I think he dominates him in the second one. I think he drops him early.
Yeah.
Camera. But yeah, anyway, I think it's so funny. People are like, oh, he's going to murder Jake Paul. I'm like, man, you guys are sleeping on fucking Jake Paul, bro. Like you said, he's a professional boxer. Call him what you want to call him now. And I think, bro, and we didn't get a chance to talk about this, Anthony Joshua, who we give a lot of shit to, me included, but is a real boxer.
Yeah.
And then he knocked the shit out of Francis Ngannou, who was considered by many to be the baddest man on the planet. You know, but obviously MMA, not a real boxer.
Right.
But because his fight was so close with Tyson Fury, I think Joshua goes into this fight and goes, no, I'm going to train like I trained
like
for
a boxer.
Boxer
yeah,
and I'm
yeah,
going
right.
to fight you. And it doesn't take long, bro. I think he drops him twice. And the second time, he's out cold. Yeah. He dropped him once prior to that. And the second time, he just doesn't get up. But Joshua is fucking him up the whole 2 rounds that it lasts or whatever.
Oh, really?
It was almost like, no, bro. And I go, oh, this is what it looks like when you go and fight a real boxer, bro. Right. Like, it's just not, like, Floyd Mayweather, to me, was like doing a favor to Conor, right? Like, he just toyed. Floyd Mayweather is a showman. He's trying to make it entertaining. I think Floyd Mayweather could have, if he wanted to take chances, he could have dropped Conor in the first or second round and called it a night. I think for this whole crossover thing to have been successful, you almost needed that fight to feel like McGregor had a chance.
Had a chance, right.
You can't be arrogant enough to think you're going to get into a ring against a guy who's dedicated his entire life, I don't care how good or bad he is. And Anthony Joshua, again, another guy who's been hit and who was falling.
And he's still considered in his prime.
Yes. And this is what happens when you fight, I think, somebody in their prime at that level. It's like, who's been fighting since he was a kid.
Dude, I wonder if Ngannou, because it hasn't even been that long since he fought Tyson.
No.
How much did he have off?
A couple months, maybe. Yeah, 2 months,
right?
Yeah.
So I wonder if he fought Tyson Fury and then in his mind went, this is not as bad as
MMA.
Right.
And then he just gets fucking starched, bro. Because Anthony Joshua's a big dude, man. Yeah. And then again, Anthony Joshua has been dropped by other fighters. The other thing, bro, in this heavyweight class, and this is why I'm like, the exciting part is that everyone is capable of knocking somebody out because they're all big guys. And so one punch changes everything. And so, you know, again, Tyson could land the punch. I just don't see it, man. I think it's really easy to look impressive on a Instagram video where you're hitting a trainer that weighs, 150 pounds and he moves when you hit him because he's not a real fighter. Listen, and
he's way better than all of us.
Absolutely.
Right.
But you're saying you're going to go fight a boxer, man.
Yeah.
I think this fight is going to disappoint us. I think what it's going to be, it's going to be boring. It's going to go the distance. And
I think at this point we have to call Jake Paul. He's a boxer.
Yeah.
He's a professional boxer.
Yeah. But this is why I don't think this is a good fight for him, because if you win this, there's no upside. And if you lose, there's like, all this could do is people are going to go, see, you weren't that guy.
But you know what? I think just like us, where we go, this is probably not going to be good. We're going to watch. And so
I'm definitely going to watch because it's also free. It says Netflix.
Oh, it's on Netflix, right?
Well, Netflix.
It's
the first. It's not free. Well, it's not free, but not pay-per-view.
I don't have to fucking pay $80 to watch it.
I'm actually curious to see what this does to the live sports pay-per-view landscape, because Netflix bought it.
Right.
And they're just going to air it. And this could potentially be the highest viewed fight of all time.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to buy it, right? Everyone has Netflix, right? Everyone has Netflix now. And so everyone's going to be tuned in that night to what? Because, dude, think about it. Even if you're not home, you're going to pull it up on your phone.
Yep.
Or on your tablet or whatever. Like, even if you're not home, you're going to be like, I want to see Jake Paul get the shit knocked out of him. Like,
this could be a game changer, bro.
Oh, yeah, bro. Because if you're Netflix or Amazon or whoever, you can just offer these guys so much guaranteed money. And then just it'll go until the network loses money from streaming the fight.
Right.
But you go, the win for the network is in how many new subscribers you get to just watch that and who just stick around, who go, oh, fuck, for Netflix, if I have it. You know, and if you're them, maybe you smarten up and you go, if you've had Netflix for 12 months or longer, you know, it's included. But if you're a new subscriber or thing, you have to pay $20. Dude, people would still pay $20 to watch the fight.
Oh, yeah.
Or, I don't, you know, whatever you like they would still, yeah. You know, you're charging me $80 right now on a normal pay-per-view these days. I think boxing's almost at $100 right now for pay-per-views.
And, dude, not for nothing, if Netflix is going to start doing stuff like this, whether, you know, with fights, we'll just leave it with boxing.
Yeah.
If they go, we're going to start offering boxing, dude, it's one of the reasons why I used to get HBO over Showtime.
Yes.
Was because HBO offered boxing.
The boxing. Yeah. And now they don't anymore, right?
You can see that. No,
they Showtime? Don't. Showtime still does.
Showtime still does.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm kind of curious. This fight has implications, I think, on a lot of fronts as far as, you know, the whole streaming thing goes too. And I think that, yeah, man, I think people are going to be really fucking disappointed who think Tyson is going to wipe the floor with Jake Paul.
Yeah, but we're still going to watch.
I'm still going to watch, man, because, again, I do still think at that weight class, you know, a punch can change it. I just think that fucking, I don't know, man. I just think that you're still 57 is 57, and you're still going up against a kid who's now proven that he's a world-class athlete.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And, dude, I can tell you from experience, as you creep up into that, you know, nearing 50 and stuff, man, like, testosterone levels drop. You're not as strong as you used to be. You know, things start to not fall apart, right? But it's not, you're not 25.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I can't imagine, you know, adding another, you know, seven, eight years onto what I am now, and then go, oh yeah, I'm going to go still challenge a 25-year-old. Let me tell you, in the last 2 years, I have pulled the hamstring and pulled the groin fucking around with these kids.
Look, I can't wait for the shit talk at the press conferences for these. Because Jake Paul is a prolific shit talker.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Mike Tyson was fucking amazing.
Yeah, and Mike has that switch.
He's fucking crazy.
Right.
Yeah,
he's fucking nuts.
And I want Mike on shrooms and get him off the weed. Like, no weed, Mike. As a matter of fact, take the shrooms away. Just give Mike acid and give him a mic and let him go up there and just talk shit. The buildup to the fight is going to be amazing. I've already seen good, Jake bro. Trolling where he did the fucking tattoo. Oh my God, bro. You haven't seen it? He was eating candy shaped like an ear the other day online. And then he did the face tattoo thing like from the Hangover one. And then he's eating the ear candy. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be so good, bro. The shit talking is gonna be amazing. Can't wait.
So did you say June or July? Which one?
July. I think July? It's July. Yeah. Okay. I think it's July, man. And then I think Ryan Garcia fights next month. If he stops April the weird shit and doesn't 20th, get fucking killed before then. Yeah. 420. It is 420.
That's in Barclays.
Yeah,
that's in New York.
Which I think that's because a couple weeks later, Canelo's fighting Munguia, whatever.
Yeah. Who the fuck is that guy?
He's good.
Yeah,
he's good. I mean, I don't know that he's not going to be Canelo good, but then again, bro, and this applies to Mike Tyson. Father Time is undefeated, bro. Yeah. So, yeah, nobody beats Father Time. And at some point in time, Canelo's time is coming too. And it's going to be from the person we least expect, right? He's going to end up fighting. It's not.
It'll be like when Roy Jones just fucking fell off.
We all think we're all waiting for the like go fight Benavidez or whoever the next big name is or whatever. It's not going to be one of those guys, bro. He's going to lose to fucking somebody. We don't think he's supposed to lose to. And we're going to go
fucking Glenn Johnson.
Yep. It's going to be some shit like that, bro. You know, it's never the person we think that, you know, the big fight we want to see. It's going to be somebody that we didn't see coming. Because again, Father Time's undefeated, bro.
You're right, Brandon. How are we doing on time, bro?
Dude, we're an hour five, hour six now.
All right, man, what you want to end with? You want to talk about this?
I'm going to talk about this drug dealer?
This drug dealer?
No, this might be you know how I'm about just ingenuity and being willing to go out there and put in the extra effort into your craft. And this drug dealer, bro, I want to find his...
What does he sell?
The exact stats, bro. So he sells a little bit of everything. but he got arrested for handing out free samples of the cocaine that he sells with business cards of his name and his contact information. I'm like, yo, shout out to this guy, bro.
Where was this?
Way to take it to the streets, bro.
Portland? No, he wouldn't get arrested.
No, it's Beaconsville Place. And where the fuck is this? I feel like this shit sounds Canadian. Yeah, it's in Calgary. It is Canadian. Fuck, the name sounded Canadian. I'm like, where the hell is Beacons? The place is called Beaconsfield Place Northwest, Syed Amir. Oh, no, that's his name.
Yeah.
Parts at a home on, at a home on Beaconsfield Place. And then his name is, Syed Amir Razavi, 30. He was handing out, cocaine with a business card and contact info. And he was handing out free samples so you could hit a little bump.
Yeah.
And then hit him up. That's fucking genius, bro.
Like, well, it ain't that genius.
Nah, first of all, if you're worried about fentanyl and all that stuff, you go, well, you didn't die, so my shit's good.
I'll be out in 30 days. Hit me up.
Worth it. You know all the business he's going to get coming back out.
Why the fuck would you do the... I always... You know what, man? Like,
you're trying to find rationale in an unrational situation.
Yeah, I guess, bro. You know, being that drugs are illegal, it's like, and I've never been a fucking drug dealer, so I don't know, man. Like, there's gotta be limits to what you do. There has to be, you want to keep it secret to some level, right? You want
but you gotta let them know.
You want
the
right, yeah, that's right. You want the right people to know that you got the good shit. But when you hand out business cards and samples, I guess, I don't know, man. I just feel like you're asking for trouble.
Yo, we really don't give drug dealers enough credit for their business model, bro. You sell a super high secret product that nobody can know you sell, yet this sells a lot of it. And you have the best supply chain known to mankind in secret. Real.
Secret.
It's, bro, we really don't give drug dealers enough credit for the at least the major, the ones supplying.
Yeah, fuck, man.
It really is a insane operation to do under the radar. It's impressive.
It's really, really impressive, is, bro. And you just, you wonder why, you know, like why the government hasn't just taken that shit over.
You mean selling drugs or?
Yeah, selling it.
Oh, I think they do. You mean like legally?
I mean legally.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah. Because I think it's more profitable to do what they're doing right now.
Really?
I think it's more profitable to just keep it on the streets and keep people employed.
Profitable because you're keeping people employed with keeping it off the street.
Yeah, and I think it also, man, it's like the price of entry, the barrier. It's like, do I let the guy I know sell drugs because I know he leads me to bigger shit that I care about, which might be the weapons dealer and the, you know, the trafficker or, right, you know, like that sort of shit. Do you sort of like you? So it's like, I'll take this evil so that I can get sort of eyes into the bigger evil or the doorway into the bigger, larger evil. I don't know. Like,
But is the bigger evil? Like what if the bigger evil is like, I don't know, the guy growing the fucking cocoa leaves in Colombia?
Is it though? I feel like there's always like a bigger, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like, is that bigger than, say, like, you know, again, like an arms dealer supplying weapons to some, you know, like terrorist organization or the human trafficking or, you know, like, I feel like a lot of these things are like, and dude, I also think it helps us sell other shit to people, like agriculturally and all that stuff. It gives us, like, I think just advantages on the global scale that we probably won't admit. I think if the government really wanted drugs gone or legalized stuff, they would. I think there's more benefits to keeping it the way it is right now than they want to tell us there are.
I mean, clearly.
Yeah, dude. Like, I don't know, man. There's nothing else in the world that we pour this much time and resource into that just gets bigger.
Yeah.
Like, we pour so much time and resources into it doesn't make sense anymore. And it just gets bigger.
No, you're right, man.
There's just no way you're not doing that without there's just no way you're just not. I know I start drinking too much on this shit because I start getting all conspiracy theories. I'm like, fuck Uncle Sam. And you catch me sober, I'm like, well, I don't know, man. Like, the war on drugs has been really successful.
All right, man, let's get out of here. On that, tell them where they can find us.
In Calgary on an unrelated. at the Carbon Food Podcast on IG, the Carbon Food Podcast on Facebook, the Carbon Food Podcast on YouTube, at Carbon FB Pod on X, at Carbon Food Podcast on TikTok, and then anywhere where you get your music or your podcast, man, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, GeoSavin, Ghana, Audible, Amazon Music. We're out there, but they're starting to get smaller and smaller like that. I know we're in TuneIn.
Weed out some stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And we're on Pocket Chaser and some of these smaller ones, but they're starting to get weeded out. It's like, you know, Google shut down their podcast platform. Stitcher shut down. So, you know, they're starting to sort of, like, I think, weed it down to the big boys are basically going to be the ones left, man. So, yeah.
And if you're on Apple, leave us a review. We do read those. And
Make them funny.
We appreciate it.
And talk shit. Even the comments on the YouTube or on the IG pictures today or on the TikTok.
What's the guy? The guy called us two beaners.
Yeah, he called us two beaners. I thought I was ambiguously brown, but all right. I guess my name gave it away.
What are these two beaners talking about?
Oh, the internet never disappoints, bro.
And as always, we appreciate you guys. We will see you next week.
See you next week.
Peace.